mouths are to be wellsprings of life. Our words are supposed to bring health and healing. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. All these things are through this book. And if there's anything that we should be able to come out of this series with, it's a conviction that we have to be careful what we say. Well, hello there. Welcome back. Today we get to take a look at Proverbs chapter 10. And there's a couple themes here that I want to address. Number one is desire. And number two is what the blessing of the Lord looks like. All right, so we're going to look at those two things. Number one is desire. We're going to start with verse 3. It says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. I'm fascinated by the contrast that Solomon makes in his Proverbs. He'll contrast themes that don't always automatically appear to gel or to fit. And so here he says, he won't allow the righteous soul, the emotional part of their life, of our life, the soul, the intellectual part of our life, to famish, to be in a drought, to be unfed. He won't allow that to happen. He wants every part of our internal world to be nourished. And then he contrasts it with, he casts away the desire of the wicked. The Lord finds, I wish I had better language for this. Let me just quote 3 John verse 2. He says, I pray, beloved, that you'd be in health and that you would be abundant in all things, even as your soul prospers. That you would prosper, that you would be in health, even as your soul prospers. So what the scripture focuses on, the health of our internal world. And the health of our internal world makes it possible for us to be trustworthy with an abundant external world, because they don't own us. They don't control us. The management of the heart has taken place well here. I can thrive with or I can thrive without, because my life is not derived from what I own or the position or title that I have. I hope that makes sense. So here it says, the Lord will not allow the internal workings of the righteous person. He will not allow that one to be famished. That encourages me, because it means that he has made available abundant resource necessary for my internal world to be healthy, for my emotions to be healthy, for my intellect to be healthy. Do you know why people lose the ability to think creatively? It's because they carry so many things in anxiety in their mind, so many details to try to remember, so many problems to try to fix, so many things that they fear. And that's the enemy's attempt to disengage us from our assignment and privilege to create, to represent him well with creative, fresh ideas. And it's anxiety and fear that kills that in us. And so here the Lord says, all right, here's the righteous soul. I'm going to make sure that the righteous soul never famishes, never experiences a drought, never experiences starving. Instead, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to make sure the desires of the wicked have no place, but I'm going to feed this one. And the New Testament equivalent of that is that I pray that you prosper and be in good health, even as you're healthy on the inside. I pray it shows up on the outside. All right, let's move over to verse 11. Verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Take the first phrase. It would be interesting for all of us just to go through the book of Proverbs just when it talks about our speech, just about our mouth, what we have to say, that our mouths are to be wellsprings of life. Our mouths, our words are supposed to bring health and healing. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. All these things are through this book. And if there's anything that we should be able to come out of this series with, it's a conviction that we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we pronounce over people. We have to be careful the kinds of things that we declare, because we can be so angry or upset or offended or whatever and say things that have such lasting effect on people. And we've got to be careful to make sure that we speak words of life. So here it is. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. It's constantly a well isn't just, you just don't fill a well with water. It has a spring that keeps it filled with water. So we have this spring of life within us that makes it possible for us to always have words that encourage and strengthen other people. All right, let's move on down. Wisdom, verse 13 says, wisdom is found on the lips of those who have understanding, which I love the statement. Verse 16, the labor of the righteous leads to life. That's interesting. The labor, the hard work, you know, working out in your yard or the job that you have, the 9-to-5, whatever it might be, there's something about that labor that brings life into your life if what we do, we actually do as unto the Lord. I want to encourage you that one. Take what you do, give it as unto the Lord, and it actually replenishes your soul. It actually is a part of the tool, the program that God has created to bring refreshing and strength to us. All right, let's move on down to verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, there we are again, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous. From the mouth of righteous people, there is an abundance of food, of nourishment for the soul. Let's move on down to verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. I'm actually, let's see, I think I'll end this one today with this verse. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. All over this world, we have business people, we have athletes and actors and actresses and CEOs and all kinds of people that seem to have unlimited resources, but all that wealth comes with great sorrow. They lost their family in the process. They sacrificed the well-being of their family for their occupation or for their position. They sacrificed friends. They sacrificed their personal standards and morals. When God blesses, there's no sorrow attached. There's no balloon payment. Excuse me. I pray that for you, that everyone watching would taste of the blessing of the Lord in such a way that there's no sorrow added. Amen. Hey, this is Bill Johnson from Bethel Church here, Redding, California. About a year or so ago, my oldest son, Eric, strongly encouraged me to do some sort of a video series, and specifically we had thought about the subject of wisdom and making that presentable to the broader audience, the body of Christ. It's one of the mandates I feel like the Lord has on the body of Christ right now, and that is to learn to grow in wisdom, because it really is the way there's longevity in the move of God, and it's the way we have great, great impact on culture itself. And my prayer is that together we could really grow in supernatural wisdom so that we really become problem solvers. We become people that are salt and light perfectly into culture, into society, to bring about the changes that Jesus has in his heart. So that's my cry for you. That's my cry for me. Bless you as you join us in this series.